Money and markets, the story of the week, without a doubt, is all the turnover in leadership that's going on, in fact, globally, but certainly in the United States and the military and industrial complex. Just let me read you a few of the comments we've gotten from subscribers this week. Is it possible that all these resignations and stand downs may get these guys off the hook, having to front investigation committees or testify in court as to what they did or didn't know about the attack by former, quote, friends on the U.S. compound in Libya, their answers having the potential to blow up in Obama's face? Do you suspect an alternative explanation for Petraeus's quick departure from the CIA? I'm hoping you'll address this at the beginning of the Thursday Solari report. Was wondering all about this. It's just too many resignations. I just read that last-minute funders stepped in to help Obama, and they demanded that a whole lot of top people bent on World War III in the military be purged or they would let Obama loose. Perhaps the pies are flying up there at the top, and I wish it was only pies. Gee, what a surprise. Petraeus caught in a honeypot right before testimony on Benghazi. P.S. That testimony is tomorrow. The real problem is that I'm not surprised by these melodramas anymore, but I am surprised that people seem to keep buying into the cover story. It feels like the whole country has just passed through Alice's looking glass. I would appreciate your insights on the Petraeus story. Petraeus seems to have gotten most of the limelight. In fact, what we saw coming into the election in mid-October, we saw the AFRICOM commander turned over. That was in mid-October. Then October 27th, we saw the head of the Mediterranean fleet pulled in. And then, literally right after the election, the director of the CIA resigned. And at the same time, same thing, the head of Lockheed Martin, which in fact, in some respects, is more important than the CIA, also resigned. Again, the pretext was used as an affair with a subordinate. Now, in my experience, it is 100% impossible that the real reason would be sex, particularly we're talking about an extremely promiscuous culture where, you know, remarkable amounts of sex are tolerated and in some quarters even encouraged. So it's simply impossible that the real problem would be sex. And then, of course, the question is, what is the real problem? Now, if you look at who's being replaced, and you're talking about the head of the CIA, then the head of the largest defense contractor in the country, Lockheed Martin, runs significantly more information systems and payment systems for the military-industrial complex and the domestic operations. You know, think of the CEO of Lockheed Martin as the equivalent of the chief operating officer of the U.S. government, if you look at how much they control and do. So the two of them to go on the same day is quite an extraordinary turnover and is a huge exercise in power. And then you add to it the AFRICOM commander and the head of a Mediterranean aircraft carrier, essentially the fleet, and you're talking about many of the key positions that will decide, do we go to war with Iran or not? So we suspect that oil politics and Middle East politics are very much at the root of this. I should mention now that the supposed email scandal of Petraeus is now being extended as well to the Commander Allen in Afghanistan. So we see something that's very Middle Eastern oriented, so Iran politics are sure to be a part of this. As you know, the ambassador to Libya was killed in October, and of course the question is, was this an October surprise? If you're not familiar with the term October surprise, I would go to Wikipedia and read the October surprise entry. The expression started with the deal made by the Republicans covertly in 1980 to persuade Iran to keep the American hostages through the election. In fact, they were let out very, very shortly after Ronald Reagan was sworn in, and that was deemed to have a very significant impact on Jimmy Carter's losing of the election. And so there's a real history here, and whether or not we saw a faction of the intelligence community and the military really helping to engineer an October surprise or not. We don't know. Petraeus is testifying tomorrow on Benghazi, and suddenly it's announced today that there are even more investigations into his background and history. That is sort of an overt announcement of a threat that says, you know, if you don't say what we want, guess what? We have an indictment coming. It's a reminder that Casey, the former head of the CIA during Iran-Contra, when he was called to testify in Iran-Contra, mysteriously had a heart attack right before the testimony. I used to have someone I worked with when I worked in the Bush administration who said, this is a little bit like being on a life raft with people who are going at each other with razor blades. But you're now watching warfare over policy. So rather than arguing and disagreeing about policy in the boardrooms of various government agencies, instead you're seeing people fight with criminal investigations and indictments. And that means the mood is getting very mean. And I think one of the biggest issues going forward is, will there be war in Syria? Will there be war in Iran? What is the American empire going to extend or recede? And of course, the backdrop on all of this is the military is very, very tired after all the sort of extensions they've had to do in the last decade. One pundit quoted as follows: new CIA interim director Morrell is the eighth CIA director in the past 7 years. You could almost say CIA directors are not indispensable. They're disposable. When I came into FHA in 1989, I did an analysis of what the problems were and what had gone wrong. I was the leader of a team that was commissioned to clean up a huge scandal at HUD at the time. And it was very much the real estate bubble of the 80s and Iran-Contra fraud. And one of the things I discovered was that there had been seven FHA commissioners in 7 years. And so the turnover in the leadership was mind-boggling. But of course, that's exactly how fraud is made possible. So if you want to control the CIA from behind the scenes, just keep turning over the people you bring in to lead it. And surely enough, you can. So this is a very, very bad sign, because we're looking at a government that is not a sovereign government. It doesn't have information sovereignty. It doesn't have financial sovereignty. And leadership can be taken out this quickly for bogus reasons without any sort of transparency or discussion of what's going on. So it makes for a pretty ugly environment, and an environment very difficult to get anything done. But we're looking at more turnover because, of course, at the end of any administration, even if it's the end of their first term, you see a lot of turnover. Most important turnover, keep an eye, is going to be the Treasury, the new Treasury Secretary. Geithner is expected to leave, go back to private enterprise. And so several candidates being discussed for Treasury, but that one's going to be particularly important. Hillary Clinton has made it clear she wants to leave state. She's tired, she says. And so, again, discussion of who that's going to be. And then, of course, Morrell is only the interim head. At some point, there's going to be a permanent head. Could be Morrell, could be someone else. That's just the United States. If we turn to Asia, China is going through a very critical change in leadership, a lot of turnover at the top. And, of course, we know that Chinese leadership has been through their share of scandals and sort of warring and attacks back and forth over personal habits and personal lives. Again, that's more of a pretext than what's really going on. But we're going to be watching a lot of leadership change globally. I mean, it's almost as though we're entering a new phase globally. And don't be surprised for the next couple of years if we see a lot of turnover, because we're going through a period where the general population is now being asked to face things that they haven't wanted to face for a long time, and change is accelerating. There's some other spooky stories I wanted to bring to your attention. One is John McAfee, the CEO, former CEO of McAfee Antivirus, founder of McAfee Antivirus, is now wanted for murder on Belize, not giving himself up to the police, insisting he's being framed. Who knows what the real story is, but it's a reminder once again of the danger of being in control of very sensitive strategic software. you know, not unlike James Holmes, the father of, or I'm going to get the names confused, but Holmes's father, the father of the shooter in Denver, who handles a lot of the software that's used for things like calculations of LIBOR, but very sensitive financial software, including for the financial scoring. Fiscal cliff. After the turnover of the leaderships, the topic that has engaged us the most this week is a serious discussion on the fiscal cliff. I posted up on the blog. ExxonMobil says they will support Obama on the carbon tax, but numerous reports that this is not coming as well. I'm going to also post those up on the blog. Beware solutions that make changes worse. I'm starting to hear solution after solution that's being proposed without any thought to what it's really going to do in terms of who's in control. I listened tonight at the salon. Somebody started to give me the speech on why we need a whole new network of government-run county banks with new local currencies being issued. It sounds all sort of hunky-dory and wonderful until you dig down, and what you're talking about is basically destroying private community banks in this country and giving unbelievable power centrally down in the financial system in every community level in a way that will be very invasive of privacy. It's a horrible suggestion. I'll go into it more later in other Solari reports. But it's very important to remember that our problem is a people problem. It's not a financial systems problem. And so, you know, the most important thing about any solution is, who does it leave in control? Does it leave the same people in control? Does it really shift things? Post-election blues, Proposition 37, John Rappaport has a wonderful series he's writing at No More Fake News about voter fraud on the effort to get labeling of GMO food. We're now seeing nullification petitions into the White House, over 100,000 signatories in Texas, and really a tremendous backlash against the sort of compromising of sovereignty coming out of the election. One comment from a subscriber I wanted to read. Regarding the election, you were spot on. You were right. I can't remember if we had a wager. If we did, you won and I owe. I'm now officially politically agnostic. The fix was in some time ago. Explain to me the following few questions. How does the Republican candidate spend 2 years of his life and close to $800 million on the general election only to concede within 2 hours of the Ohio polls closing and then never to be heard from again? That dog don't hunt. Hurricane Sandy blasting through the Democratic stronghold, New Jersey, New York, Cleveland, only to have the president be loved by the Republican governor of New Jersey. What was that about? Did the powers that be tell Christie to make the president look presidential? It worked. They, whoever they are, declared Obama the winner in states 15 minutes after the poll closed. They didn't even do any exit polling, but they declared Obama the winner anyway. You don't have to answer these questions because I have more where they came from. I will say one thing about the election. The Dems will be fraudulent in voting, but the Republicans are just as culpable. I don't know which is worse. I'm moving closer to your way of thinking. My favorite subscriber says, or my favorite comment from a subscriber said, told a friend of his, he said that he won the election, that he had promised himself when the election began or the campaign began that he would not invest 1 ounce of emotional energy in the election. And he said he managed to make it the whole way through without doing so. And so he had won. A great conference in Holland. I'm going to report on it next month because I want to take a little bit more time to tell you about it. The DVD will be coming out with all the speeches available. And so as soon as that's ready, we'll go ahead and review it. Very fascinating time on Breakthrough Energy.